Hello, everybody. It's Noise Cancelling, episode 62, because I have been told every week which episode it is, and I'll stop getting in trouble for not saying which one it is. This is episode 62. We are here to tell you all about the things that happen in tech, miss out quite a lot of them, and then hopefully by the end of it, not embarrass ourselves. I am joined by three other people. Who are they? Let's find out.
I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Andy Madden. I'm deputy editor of War Hi-Fi.
And I'm Ian Morris, and I'm the editor of T3.com.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. And every time we have guests on the podcast, before we start, I try to ask them, oh, what's your job title? Make sure I've got it right. And then forget that they introduce themselves every single time. So it's just a waste of time. Anyway, let's talk big question to start with. Anyway, sorry, I shouldn't do that. We've got two new guests on the podcast I haven't said hello to. Ian, Andy, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Which one of you has had the most fun during the last 18 months?
I don't know. It depends how you define fun, really, doesn't it? Is that staying in and doing nothing?
Yeah. If I like Zoom calls, I've had a lot of fun. Let's put it that way.
I only just got the capability to blur my background on VC after a year. And it's been, I felt like someone joining TikTok, you know. It's like, oh, I'm down with the kids now.
Yeah, I think I found a Top Gun background. That kind of made my week, that week, anyway.
Well, they've just added in moving backgrounds to Google. I mean, I don't think we can use them yet. Hey.
I literally have just got the ability to hide my washing. So this is, I don't want to overtax the machine any further. Okay, good. Well, I feel like, you know, both of you have got the joys of spring about you. We can embed that into this podcast this week. As usual, we start with the big question. Now, talking of spring and then thinking, I can use a segue that the word Spotify has some of the same letters. I can't do that. Spotify is hiking its prices. I feel like this has been a long time coming, to be honest with you. If you've got the family plan, I think it goes up in the UK from $14.99 to $16.99. So it led us to think, you know, while a lot of brands are going up, Netflix, etc., are there any brands that we think, you know what, we're being too nice to them? They should take more money from us. Is there anyone out there that you feel like, you know what, let's be charitable? Cherie, that your face tells me you've got lots of ideas about this.
No, I have no ideas about this because I'm never going to say willingly that I need to give a company more money. So I don't understand this question at all. Like, why? Why would I, a consumer, be like, yes, please take more of my hard-earned money that could be spent elsewhere, like brown liquors and smoked meats and things of that nature?
Because you feel like they're doing a good service and you think you should be rewarded more. This is me testing the fact that you every week come in saying, like, I love the fact I just wing these questions, and now look who's stuck.
No, I'm not stuck. I'm never going to say, yes, let me give you more of my money. Mm-mm. My money and time are precious.
All right, but Ian, what about you?
Well, I mean, I agree with that sentiment. I mean, who wants to pay more for stuff? I suppose you could make the argument that Amazon is relatively good value for money if you, you know, take advantage of all the things it offers. You know, there's some music on there, there's TV, there's films, there's free shipping. You know, you could make an argument that that's a relatively decent value. But would I pay more for it? Well, not voluntarily, I wouldn't, no.
I like the fact that of all the people I thought would be mentioned in this question, Amazon was not up there. It was like, ah, poor Amazon, you know.
Well, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I just think that particular part of the offering is sensibly priced.
Yeah, you're right. I think when you compare it, you know, you get Prime and Prime Video, and then you do dig in and see what else is in there. It's actually quite a lot, but then it's also, you know, it's Amazon. So, Andy.
Yeah, I think you're getting a lot of bang for your buck with a lot of things nowadays. And like you say, why would you pay more if you didn't need to? I think you could say that about, that kind of argument could be about TVs, for example. Like TVs, you can pick up a massive TV for very little cash now. Realistically, the manufacturer should probably be charging a bit more because they've all kind of hit that race to the bottom. And they did do a little while ago, and they've kind of probably hit rock bottom. And yes, they'll charge $2,500 for the top of the range TV. But part of me thinks, well, those cheaper ones. I mean, I remember a time back in the day when a TV like that would cost $5,000, like a 55-inch LCD TV would cost $5,000, and now you can pick one up for like £500 or dollars.
It's actually crazy how cheap some TVs are now. I'm blown away by it. I'm like, what, 48 inches for a tenner? Or, I mean, maybe a bit
basically,
more, but, you know.
Giving it away, yeah.
I mean, in Black Friday, it's not that far off, is it? I think it was like $75 for a 48-inch or something ridiculous. I mean, it's essentially someone sketching what they think is on TV at that point.
It's an approximation.
But Andy, don't you think that, you know, if you wanted to give them more money, they'd say you can and here's a better TV for it? I feel like that one's got absolute scalability built into it.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I think going back to the thing is, though, it's like, well, you're getting all this added value and yeah, no one's going to say, I don't want to pay any more. But realistically, I think people have reached a point where they expect to get a lot for not a lot. And it's kind of built into our brain now that we basically get given content, we get given these subscriptions, and like 10 quid for Spotify for that amount of access to music is not really a lot of money. I know you don't get to keep it necessarily like a physical format like a CD, but the amount of exposure that I have had to music and being able to consume music, it's like, actually, that's ridiculously good value. And maybe, yeah, we should be paying 20 quid a month so the artists get a lot more money. I mean, this argument could go in various directions, but I think you're getting a lot for the certainly streaming wise, getting quite a lot for the money.
I think the problem is that with streaming, this each different thing is really valuable, but then you sort of realize you're paying a lot for a lot of things. You could quite easily have Amazon Prime, Netflix, Spotify, and another couple of subscription services there just kicking away. That's quite a lot of money per month to be spending on something you don't actually own. But like you said, and then you break down each one, it's quite valuable. I think Spotify, I agree, you know, it'd be great if they just said, like, we're going to charge you more and we're going to pay artists that much more. That'd be wonderful. But equally, Daniel Ek, who's been talked about maybe buying Arsenal Football Club in the UK, and everyone's obviously started talking about his net worth of, what, 3.43 billion or something. And you think, is that actual money in the bank? And if it is, could you maybe just not raise the prices and give a few more pennies out there? But that never happens.
It's not, though, is it? Stock. He owns stock.
Exactly, yeah. It's just, you know, he could own literally nothing tomorrow, maybe. He's probably got some money, I'd imagine. I had two answers to this question. One was serious and one was not so serious. You can guess which. So I think a lot of app developers deserve a lot more money, you know, especially for things, or some app developers just deserve some money. The amount of free apps that I use, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to spend your 20 quid for a year. Like, there's an app that I use, and I actually am going to subscribe at some point, but it's called Footpath, and I run a lot, and so I like to like look for new routes, and you just draw your finger around some trails, and it will ping you the actual one. And if you spend more money, you get to actually do all the fancy things, like send it to your smartwatch and stuff, so you can follow it. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not spending 20 whole pounds on this when, you know, within a whole weekend, I've spent twice that on absolutely nothing. But for some reason, an app is like, oh, I don't spend more than 99p on this because that's ridiculous. But then in reality, you should, because these people are doing a lot of really good things. But if there's another company, I'd give Pepsi more money. Maybe a subscription service to Pepsi Max, because I love it.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that. I love Pepsi Max.
Yes, so many people think it's ridiculous.
What the hell is Pepsi Max?
You must have Pepsi Max, surely.
Well, first of all, I don't, you do. I don't drink Pepsi because there's a reason it's called Jack and Coke, folks. It's not Pepsi and Coke.
Because of big cola, that's why.
Mm-mm.
I've got to agree with Sherry there. I think Coke Zero all the way, although having said that, they've just changed the flavour, so I'm about to withdraw my support for putting the price up for that.
Coca-Cola all the way, and all the better if it is Mexican Coke with that delicious cane sugar. It is the best.
That's standard here. That's how we have it.
Of course, Pepsi Max is called Pepsi Zero Sugar in America. That's what it was.
Ah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Give me all my sugar. Give me all my caffeine. I don't drink coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
And a can of Coke every now and then. It just keeps me sane. It keeps a smile on my face. The carbonation tickles my tongue. It's got that right bit of sweet and bitter and carbonation.
Pepsi Max, yeah.
Pepsi could never.
Absolutely could. I drink about a can a night quite happily, and I'm aware that it's of ice, but I'm like, you know what? I don't drink, don't smoke, don't do much else. I'm going to get away with this if my insides are a bit weird and acidic. Let's carry on. Anyway, that's nothing to do with technology, is it? We've managed to go straight past the important things. So, Cherie, next section is what's going on. Do we have a jingle?
Nah.
Still working on it.
Still working on it. Because every time
8 weeks in.
Because every time you say it, like, Marvin Gaye keeps coming in my mind. And like, when I think about it during the week, I have something and it's never good enough. But I am working on it.
I mean, just speak to Marvin Gaye. If he'll come and do it.
No.
Okay. Difficult, I know. But anyway, this week we're going to be talking about, well, we're delving into the past. So you probably have noticed that we have Ian and Andy on this this show today.
Is it because we're old?
Whoa, easy. Easy.
We are rich in heritage in this industry, I would say.
That's the nicest way of saying old I've ever heard.
Ooh.
Yeah. We've seen things, we've heard things, we've done things. And so we want to explore the world of audio this week. If we had a lot more production value, we'd have a lovely sting right now that maybe took us back in the annals of time. I want to point out that I am wearing a pair of headphones that I just found under someone's desk because I realized that the setup I had needed a separate pair of wired headphones. So that doesn't help very much for my... my reputation in terms of being an audiophile. But I wanted to sort of dig in and get the sense of like where have headphones come from, especially in the last 20 years, where are we going to? Because I think there's been such a change in the last few years in terms of, you know, wireless earbuds and, you know, noise cancelling and so many different things. So Cherie, you know, what was your history? Because you did a load of... I'll tell you why that I'm excited to talk to you is because there was a time when I came to the New York office for the first time. We hadn't met. I was going to go back on the plane home. I didn't have the right cable. I wasn't going to listen to anything for 8 hours. And somehow you had the most niche of cables in your drawer. And you're like, hey, man, I've just met. Here it is. So in my mind, you know everything about headphones that's ever existed.
You know my saying, headphones are like shoes. You cannot have just one pair. We have come so freaking far with headphones, especially as my love for headphones started growing. I remember when we first were doing Walkmans and they had those really chintzy, horribly built headphones that were just destined to break if you just looked at them wrong. Just crick, crick. Right down the middle, the horrible no leather foam pads that would just soak up all the moisture around your ears if you were running with them, or, you know, if you were just sweating and being a human being. We've come so far. We've gone wireless. We've got pleather, or if you're fancy and you've got your pinky up and you can afford it, you can get some genuine leather and some stainless steel or some aluminum, and then there's drivers, and now we're using graphene and all these other things to make the sound better. We've come so far.
And Andy, you obviously work for What Hi-Fi, so therefore legally you must enjoy drivers and graphene.
Yeah, I have to have at least 5 pairs on me at any one time.
That's a man after my own heart.
All on your ears. Yeah.
Mm.
They're all on top of each other, so 4 of them are redundant. That's the thing.
Yeah, I've got 3 pairs of in-ears under these headphones, these over-ears that I'm wearing now. You just can't see them.
And so, Andy, over the last, I don't know, however long you've been studying the world of sound in your head, what's been your sort of your highlight? What's the best thing that you've ever heard, you know, through a pair of headphones?
Yeah, I mean, headphones is like Sherry's saying, it's one of those categories that's just, yeah, it's gone absolutely bonkers. I remember that. The Walkman as well. I think one of my first gadgets was a Walkman. But to be fair, they did start portable audio. They did start portable headphones, and it's just kind of we've come kind of like full steam ahead into the future. And we've got all sorts, wireless noise cancelling. It's all relevant. It's all relative to what you're listening to as well. If you're listening to a high-end hi-fi system through a pair of headphones, or you're listening to an iPhone through a pair of wireless headphones, you can still get as much enjoyment out of the kind of more affordable level than you can the high-end and premium level. You don't have to be an audiophile to enjoy your audio. I think people sometimes get a bit bogged down in kind of, oh, you need to listen to this kind of music to hear this kind of sound and kind of get this kind of, to really tell how good your system is or your headphones are. It's like, no, you either listen to your music and you like it or you don't. If you've got a good pair of headphones, you should be excited and enjoy listening to it and have your feet tapping along. I mean, that's the joy of headphones.
Saying music's more about the experience than it is about the copper and cable that puts it together?
Well, obviously, there's certain, certain levels.
What about neodyme?
Yeah, magnets. It's all about the magnets.
Yeah. Oxygen in the cables, important.
Yeah, cables can make a difference, but we won't go down that rabbit hole because I can talk for hours on cables. Maybe that's one for another podcast, for another lockdown.
Subscribers only.
I would love to be involved in that podcast.
Cable talk.
Let's make it happen.
Do you not regret the fact that we're all wireless now? I mean, you know, most wireless headphones are pretty good, but there is a part of me that thinks we're leaving a lot on the table by throwing away wires.
Yeah, I agree. But I think you've got to look at also the wired wireless argument is the price is involved as well. You're never going to get a pair of wireless headphones that is like, I don't know, £200, $200, that sounds as good as a pair of wired £200, $200 headphones. Because think of, again, we're coming back to a bit in terms of value. What are you getting in those $200 wireless headphones? You're getting all the wireless connectivity, you're getting noise cancelling, you're getting all the chips, you're getting all the kind of tech that's packed into the headphone. And the manufacturer can only spend a certain amount on the drive units and all that kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, it's a shame, but I think you can still get good wireless headphones, but I wouldn't expect them to sound as good as an equivalent pair of wired. It's just the way they're made, I think.
All right, Ian, I was going to ask you about, you know, wired versus wireless, and you jumped in straight away there, but Andy's done a good question. You can spend a lot on a good pair of wireless headphones. Apple AirPods Pro Max. Well, I can't forget the name. AirPods Max, sorry, not Pro Max. AirPods Max.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think they could ever justify that kind of cost?
Well, I think that's a particularly good question because I think it's such an enormous amount more money than a, you know, even a fairly decent set of wireless headphones. You know, like you could get some Bang & Olufsen's or whatever for less than that. I mean, I think the thing about Apple is no one expects them to be cheap, do they? They're just, you know, it's just, it is what it is. You make the decision, you go with it. You know, if you could afford it, great. I haven't heard them. That's the only slightly disappointing thing is because I haven't heard them, I can't actually say whether or not I like the quality. But you know what? The original AirPods, I was a big fan of them. I thought they were good enough for commuting and the convenience factor for those trumps everything else. And it means that if you want to take a pair of decent headphones with you for when you're in the mood for something a bit better, you can do it. But and you know, the price of them is a bit more palatable. So I mean, I'm thinking back to the best pair of headphones I ever heard, and I think it was like maybe the Sennheiser 800s, which are open backed, but you can't take them out with you. You're going to really annoy some folks if you go on the train with open back headphones, like speakers bolted to your head.
Cherie, I mean, what about you? Do you ever have that moment where you think back over the course of your illustrious career and you're like, you heard something, you're like, shit, this is good. And whether it wasn't the music, it was just the quality of the sound.
There, when physical CES comes back, I am so looking forward to my tradition of going by the Sennheiser booth and going to listen to the Opus headphones. They cost $10,000. They are connected to this beautiful marble amp with these vacuum tubes that just rise up out of the marble like just delicate swans about to help my ears just usher into a level of musical oral nirvana that the likes of which my ears only get to experience once a year. And I sorely missed this year because of the pandemic or the panini or the panunu, as people are calling it.
They are.
And every year I sit there and I just trip out to listening to Dark Side of the Moon on these $10,000 headphones. And I listen to the same thing on my wireless or whatever I'm carrying around at the time on the show floor. And it never, ever compares.
I think CES is a good example because for me, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever the last time I went there was, and I mean, it wasn't very long ago, but time, you know, now it's just a concept now. There was the brand, I don't know, I'm sure people have spoken or heard about Neurophone. They do that kind of customized sound. I'm not saying that they're the best pair of headphones I've ever heard, but in terms of, you know, the idea now, there's so much processing smarts in our smartphones and the things that connect to them that why, you know, you don't need headphones that can do everything on, you know, on board. And so when you had this thing where it calibrated, it just chucked loads of beeps and loops into my ears for a bit and then decided that it worked out exactly what kind of sounds I could hear perfectly. And then they switched from just normal music to the personalized sound. Honestly, it was incredible. And I mean incredible, like, everything just became like 10 times clearer, and like wearing like a horrible pair of trousers that suddenly just morphed into the most perfectly comfortable fitting ones. Like I said, it could be very much that the normal version was just terrible on purpose and the second, you know, more customized version was better. But having tested it and heard different people's profiles, you could see how the soundscape was very different. Now, unfortunately, the Neuraloops that I tried, they had some issues afterwards. You know, they were quite uncomfortable to wear after a while. They kept falling out of my ears, and the overall quality just didn't quite follow all the time. But in that moment, that kind of like, wow, I've heard sound for the first time, that's what people look for in headphones, that you know, whether it's a $10,000 pair of headphones or whether it's ones that you just, it's a different concept completely. It's amazing.
Well, I was going to say, like, that it's kind of silly to assume that everyone's hearing responds the same way to sound. Like, you know, when we talk about what we see, we're all sort of kind of aware that you can't describe a color. You know, I can say something's orange, but to explain what that means and how everyone perceives colors is obviously completely different. We'll never know. So sound, you know, everyone's ear is different. Everyone has different sensitivities. I'm old, so my hearing's not as good. You know, it makes a lot of sense to do something a bit more than just providing everyone with the same pair of headphones. And that there must be something in that.
I mean, how old are you, Ian?
How dare you? I'm 43.
Are you?
Yeah.
Ah, you look younger. Well done.
I'm old enough to get a COVID jab.
Just.
In fact, it was 42 now as well. Like I got my text earlier in the week, and now all the little whippersnapper 42-year-olds are getting theirs as well.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Speaking of ear health or ear age, are y'all still hearing that high-pitched noise that's supposed to drop out?
Well, the difference is now that the high pitch for me is always there because my ears are, you know, bad. My hearing genetically was never going to have much of a chance. I've come from two parents, both of whom have terrible hearing. So, you know, the quality I can still assess pretty well, actually. But it's just when you're sitting quietly in a room, you know, there's this little a lot of the time. It's really quite annoying.
What are you talking about, Sheree? The drop, what?
So when you're young, like your ears can pick up the like a child until like supposedly it drops off after 40, but I can still like I just hit 40 and I can still hear it, and I was kind of hoping that it would drop off because sometimes it can be painful. It's like that really high frequency sound, and there's actually apps that kids have that test this, like and they kind of do it as a prank because typically their teacher isn't going to be able to hear it, depending if they're on the age. And it's just plays this annoying high-pitched noise, and it's just it's like humanity's dog whistle. It's painful. I still hear it, and I was like, all right, finally 40, something to look forward to. I don't hear this noise anymore, but I still hear it.
I thought you meant there was some sort of like sound that was pervading through all of life that everyone could hear. I was like, I just missed that completely throughout my whole childhood.
The rhythm of the universe, Gareth.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just the echo of the soul. Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's what Ian lived with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I did do a test a while ago because you can go to like a tone generator and like, you know, see where your hearing goes. Well, I can't remember what I could get up to. It was better than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, I think in terms of those apps, because they've developed these anti-youth things, didn't they, a while ago, where you put them on a side of a shop and it would stop the youth congregating because only they could hear this tone.
Yeah.
And then they'd all be like, ah, it hurts.
Like a spider repellent.
Was it just Sade?
Yeah.
They say that humans, you know, we can never tell what kind of colours that we could see or how we can describe them. But they managed to work out what colours cats could see. I'm like, why can't I do it with us? That's not fair.
When they worked out what colours cats could see, presumably they were still saying, well, they could see orange. They weren't, like, somehow able to describe it.
Well, they've got very, like, muted palettes, so they can only see things in, apparently, in, like, really low pastels, and they look green. So you know what green's like, you know, kind of, like, greeny colour. You know green, yeah, you know green. Yeah. Cool, I can describe it really well, thanks.
But is it an emerald, a chartreuse, a lime?
Jade. It's more of a jade.
There's more to green than just green.
This is a complete segue. Does anyone remember, or was anybody at the Huawei press conference about 5 years ago where they spent half an hour, maybe an hour, on discussing how they'd reinvented green?
No, thank God.
It was awful.
I'm not surprised it was Huawei, to be fair. Was that the one
in Berlin
where they made us queue up outside for ages? And I remember getting very short-tempered about that. And then they had a selection of people to come on stage and waffle nonsense. And I'd become very agitated by about 5 minutes
in. I think you're describing many conferences there, though.
That's true. We've all been to conferences with me.
I don't miss a press conference.
I miss that Samsung press conference at CES where they would give away some bit of tat and it would cause an ungodly queue that wouldn't have been there if they weren't giving away a $3 music player.
Or like a paperweight sometimes, that was one.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, free things. Right, so I feel like we covered headphones properly. The only thing I wanted to say, one more thing, is we haven't talked about wireless earbuds actually. Are they good? That's the thing. Like, everyone's sort of like, they're now the de facto way of listening to music for nearly everybody, I think, in terms of just, you know, general day-to-day life. I say everybody, but it's kind of like the level people aspire to. Like, I get so many questions from people. Oh, which one should I buy? You know, I want to get some decent ones, blah, blah. Like, Cherie, which ones do you use?
I actually, in my real life, in my home life, in my commuter life, I actually prefer to use over-ear headphones. A, I have freakishly small ears, and some of them can be very uncomfortable. They've gotten better over the years. Two, I'm always, like, depending on the build of the headphone, I always do worry about if I'm making a mad dash for the subway, that one is going to jump out of my ears, take a trip down the stairs, land in some puddle of unidentified goo that is only found in the New York City subway system.
That's how the turtles were made, fair play.
And number three, just on the strength of street harassment and being a woman, I like having cans on because I want potential harassers to see that I literally cannot hear them.
Good. But if you had to choose wireless earbuds,
If I'm going to choose wireless earbuds, I'm going to go...
True wireless, sorry, of course.
True wireless. I'm going to go with the Sony WF-1000 XM3s. They are some of the best active noise canceling wireless buds, which, again, I live in New York, I commute all the time on the subway. I need to drown out Showtime and the poet and the comedian and the mariachi band and like all the and just a random,
all the culture, all the stupid culture that's around me. Oh,
I like, if I want culture, I'll go to a I want it in a park, I want it in a theater, I want it even on a sidewalk, but I do not want it when I am in a metal tube crammed in there with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Forced against my... I'm basically a captive audience. Let me choose what I want to be captive to.
I thought you meant walking past it, but yeah, you're right. When it's on, then you're stuck with it. That's no fun.
Yeah, no. Nah.
Andy, do you have a completely different take, or are you also a hater of mariachi band?
Well, yeah, anything that gets in the way of my commute home, tends to zone out with a pair of headphones. I kind of like, I don't really use over-ears and on-ears out and about, but yeah, true wireless earbuds, I've got to go with Cherie. I've got to go with the Sonys as well, I'm afraid, being really boring.
Give their full name, because it's really hard.
WF-1000 XM3.
Yeah.
So you've got to remember, Gareth, it's not hard for people that work on What Hi-Fi to remember the names of audio products. It's like,
I'm so proud that
some
I can do it.
Kind of genetic thing.
Do you remember, yeah. You bet? I reckon I could go on there and just disguise some headphones by their shape, and they could basically, yeah. I would go through.
I love that game, because I'm looking at yours. I'm like, are those AKGs? I'm just like, what are they?
They are AKGs. Which model are they, though? That's for your bonus points. What model are they?
I can't, like, I could just make out the shape, because I had those and they're old. They're like 7 years old, and I loved them when I had them, and they disappeared in the move.
Shall I tell you what they are?
Yes, please.
The AKG Y50s.
Andy, if you went on a program like You Bet, though, and I'm saying, like, you're gonna go, I can identify these just by their shape, I go one step further, I blindfold you, and you can only put them in your mouth. Could you still do it?
The sad thing is, I reckon I could do at least two or three. Definitely. If they're in your hands, you can probably imagine how they'd probably be in your mouth, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit weird.
The tongue's very sensitive.
You'd absolutely be able to tell AirPods, wouldn't you? That's the easiest one.
You'd probably swallow them by mistake. They just slide down your throat.
And Ian, what about you?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I did used to be a regular with the AirPods just for convenience, because I could easily fit them in my jeans pocket and
your mouth.
You know, and not, and my mouth, yeah. And then my AirPods sort of died in a battery capacity manner, and I went without. I mean, for a start, there was a pandemic on. I didn't leave the house. What did I need headphones for? You know, I've got speakers. And then I mistakenly purchased a pair of Amazon headphones, the wireless Echo Buds or whatever they're called. And I would consider it to be in my top 10 purchasing mistakes. They were cheap, which is why I thought, I'll give it a go. But no, they're absolutely atrocious. But they're
terrible, aren't they?
They're atrocious in a very specific way. So if you listen to them on an iPhone, they're passable at best, because there's a lot of processing going on. Like, there's something going on in the app. If you pair them with a Bluetooth device, they are the worst thing I've ever heard. Wispy, unpleasant sound. So yeah, don't buy the Amazon Echo Buds, guys.
How much were they?
They were like 50 quid or something.
They're bulky. Like,
they are.
Like, they made my ear, like the outer ear, the concha and all of that, just uncomfortable, like, in a short amount of time. Like, I can't remember off the top of my head how they sounded, but I remember how they felt.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my ears are maybe better suited to them. I'm kind of closely related to Dumbo, but the things that appealed to me about them were pass through, which I thought might be useful if you were trying to listen to an announcement at a train station or something like that. Noise cancellation, which is Bose noise cancellation for some reason, which I thought would be okay. And actually, both of those things are fine. But what's the point of having a pair of headphones with all those features if you actually don't really enjoy listening to stuff on them? For podcasts, they'll be fine. Like, they serve the purpose I needed them for, which is when I start going back into the office, I'll be able to pop those on the train and it won't really matter. And they're small enough to just carry around with me, throw in a bag or whatever. But my beloved Bowers & Wilkins, I think it was P7s, which were wireless and wired, have fallen apart.
Oh, no!
And yeah, and the little armature that holds the band to the pad has gone. And it's like, you can still just about get away with wearing them, but I love those headphones. They sound great. They work for me. They've got a little bit of bass, but they're clear and crisp. I really got on well with them. So I should just put my hand in my pocket and buy a replacement, but I don't know whether the new ones are better or worse or what.
I've used it's interesting you said earlier about the AirPods. I hated the first AirPods because I've got shit ears, which are just like cavernous nonsense with no holding bits that apparently everyone else has had. I don't know what problem that is, but I blame my dad for that genetically. And which is like when I first got my first Walkman, it was, and you got those earbuds that went in rather than the over the ear ones. I was trying so hard to work out why I couldn't get them to go in because they were just flat. They had no silicone, nothing like that. I was like, why won't they hold in? I just doing it wrong. So I just sort of like twist them into my head, and it took me like 3 years to realize that just had shit ears. But the AirPods Pro are a lot better. They have all the things. They have that very much that convenience. But then I also bought some they call it Enac Fire from Amazon for like, I think it was £19 they were on offer for, Enac Fire Future. But nothing more honestly than, you know, just sound that comes out wirelessly in earbuds. There's no noise cancelling. There's nothing like that. They've got a really, I want to call it charming but annoying, where you turn them on, you have to turn them both on separately. They don't just auto turn on, and then they'll connect to each other, and they'll just have this like two voices talking at the same time, left channel, right channel connected, left channel connected, like in your head, just in two different areas, and then the sound starts coming through one of them, and it's just like, I have a little chat. It's very lovely. And I can't tell which one I think is better, because the AirPods Pro cost, you know, over $200, and these cost 20. They sound quite a lot worse, but how much worse? Like you said, at a podcast, it's like, it's a podcast. What richness are you getting? And I can't decide which ones are the better buy out of the two of them.
For me, I think it's the noise cancellation that helps with podcasts, because if you're trying to listen to speech when you're on the move, it can be quite annoying if you're sort of on a, you know, one of those loud tube trains or whatever. So there was a value to that for me for the Amazon ones. But I think I'm all for people sort of finding the solution that works for them. But I think $19 is a bit low, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I'm not sure I can continue this conversation after you mentioned that.
You could probably find a pair on the Tech Radar office floor, couldn't you, that were better than that?
I wanted to see if they were any good. And like I said, I've run with them. They've held. I wanted to see, like, just if you spent so little money, how bad was it? And I'm like, actually, it's not that bad for, like, you know. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been doing this job a long time. I still run everything past my 1998 version of myself as a teenager and go like, right, here's a little magic box that can give you any film or any song instantly whenever you want it. How excited are you? And I'm like, pretty excited, if I'm honest. So anything that fits around that, like, you know, wireless headphones of any description, they're amazing. I also think we should say well done to ourselves. We mentioned noise cancelling so many times and not talked about the name of this podcast, but there you are. Done it. Ruined it.
I was going to ask you, because you run, have you ever tried like bone conduction or anything like that?
I use them all the time. I use Aftershocks, currently using the AirApex. They're difficult, right? I tell you what's weird. If you haven't heard bone conduction headphones, you definitely should try them as soon as you can, because just for the sensation of putting them on, you're like, yeah, I can hear them. And then if you put them like, they sit just in front of your ears on the bones, obviously, to conduct. But then if you put them over your ears, they sound loud. I'm like, these are just headphones that are loud. This is ridiculous. But then you put your fingers in your ears, and it's so weird the fact you can hear fully, but you're shutting your ears. It's a really mind-confusing situation. They're brilliant, and they've got so much better. Like the first versions I ever used, like the Aftershocks, were they make your head tickle because they vibrate your head a bit. And the new versions, they've got so much bass, you can almost hear voice properly when there's a car going past, but you still lose it. Kind of the point, being able to hear the outside world, but it's annoying when you're trying to listen to a podcast.
Because you're not allowed to run with headphones and like marathons and stuff, are you? Unless they are bone conducting and you've got full scope to hear everything.
This is another less interesting podcast than cables, but you know, there's some races that still won't let you have them, even though they're proven fine by the English Athletics, whatever. But yeah, they are brilliant, and it's an amazing technology, and I'm surprised more brands haven't got into it. Especially you talk about the office, like it's really great for you to hear people around you. They're a bit leaky, but the newer versions are even better. So there you go. They are good for running as well. They are lovely, and they are safe, which is nice as well. Right, let's get on to the Gadget Hall of Fame. There's two of you, so we're going to talk to both of you today. But Andy, straight up, the Gadget Hall of Fame is very simple. Is it a good thing that you first brought in? Do we like it? Or will it go and sit next to Matt Swider's Tech Radar headphones that I'm going
to... Oh, dear. No pressure then. So, yeah, I'm going to go back to Sony, I think, for these. And I'm going to suggest the... Here we go, with the model number. WH-1000XM4... over-ear wireless noise-cancelling headphones.
The new ones,
yeah. It's kind of probably, I'm kind of saying it because of the lineage of that range and how much it's of an impact it's had in headphones. I think Sony obviously had a big impact in portable audio, but in headphone world, I would say it's been a bit hit and miss recently, or certainly in the few years ago, it didn't really have much of an impact. But I remember speaking to a Sony employee at one of the trade shows, I think it was IFA, and he said, look, we've made these headphones and we're going for Bose. Basically, they thought, right, we want to take on Bose at their own game and we want to beat them with some headphones. And then they launched the 1000s, the originals, and they did sound better than the Boses, and they have continued to sound better than their rivals for the last like 4 years. I think they're four-time Hi-Fi Award winners. So obviously we rate them very highly, but I think it's just in terms of consistency for a headphone range and just being able to be kind of top dog year after year, certainly for the last 4 years, I think, yeah, it's amazing what a brand like Sony can do when they put their mind to a product and kind of focus on it and go, right, we know what we want to do, we know who we want to beat, and we know how we're going to go about beating them. And yeah, you can't really argue with that range at all, I don't think. It's been...
No, I can't. That's no fun.
Well, exactly, there we go. My job is done.
It is very good. And yeah, fine, that'll go in. But okay, I'll ask you another question. What was your first ever gadget?
First ever gadget. Well, it wasn't audio related. I can remember getting...
Don't let what hi-fi hear that.
See, exactly.
Yeah. You lied in your interview.
My first gadget was, I think it was an Atari Lynx, is what I remember playing with. Ooh. As a kid. Back in the day, what was that, 1990? God, I can't remember now. Maybe 1980 something, I'd imagine. Handheld games console, probably not the best one out there at the time, but it was colour. It looked cool, and I could play California games and basically surf, hacky sack, BMX, and halfpipe to my heart's content.
Halfpipe, man.
Was that the one that you could get a TV tuner for?
No, that's the Game Gear.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Game Gear was just after, wasn't it, I think. So yeah, I had the Lynx. Yeah. I chose not to go the Nintendo Game Boy route, which I kind of regretted a little bit.
You approved right by history, weren't you?
Exactly.
Look who's winning now.
So yeah, that was my first
that's gadget. A good shout.
Yeah
I do love that, those moments like where there's tech that was like, this was the better one, but then something else won out just for, you know, marketing or ease of use reasons. But you're right, that was so much more powerful. You know, Atari did the Jaguar console as well later on that was like 64-bit for anybody else, and yet no one cared.
Yeah, and some of my mates had like Neo Geos and stuff, and it's like, A, where are you getting all that money from to get these handheld consoles? Because they weren't very cheap. And B, it was like, yeah, they're maybe slightly better than my Atari Lynx, but to be fair, neither of us won out, did we? It was Nintendo, and even Sega kind of didn't do much either. So,
and Ian, you've obviously you've been in the tech industry a long time as well. You've touched many MP3 players. So I see us talking about headphones and stuff.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk up the best and worst of all time.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, this predates my life in tech journalism, actually. The Sony NWHD5. Now, I did a little search for this. I was like, you know, people must remember this. People must have written articles about it. Did a search, turned one up, and thought, oh, this is good. Someone agrees with me. This is a great player. It turns out I wrote the article on TechWriter about it. It's like, no, I'm literally the only one. It was around the time, I can't remember when it was launched, but it was a hard drive based MP3 player that was designed to rival the iPod. And it was, yep, it was good.
I remember it.
You know, Sony were great. Well, that's good because most people don't. Sony were always good. Like, you could rely on a Sony. It would usually be good quality. I had loads of mini disc players. I loved them. And then so when it came time to get something that could play MP3s, I was like, right, no more sticking these onto mini disc. It's a massive hassle. You know, what can I get? And then there was this Sony player, and it was expensive. I think it was like 300 quid or something like that. And, you know, but this was before the time where I could try stuff before I bought it. I just fell in love with it. But it is still one of the worst pieces of engineering in terms of how it functioned. Like, you had to have Sony's software on it. I mean, now, okay, you'll say iTunes is the same, and that's true. But Sony's software just seemed to make everything worse. Like, it did recompression, so files were only stored on the HD5 in A-Track, which was Sony's audio format, which was used, on the mini disc as well. Yeah. So it would only store files in that format to start with. I think later on they patched it so it would play MP3s. But to start with, you had to put them in Sonic Stage and convert them. And you couldn't then use them anywhere else apart from in Sonic Stage. It was a pain in the arse. So, you know, it's a classic Sony in many ways. Invent this glorious piece of hardware and then completely hobble it with terrible software.
But it was 2005. You know, it was a very different time. You know, it's sad of the times.
Yeah, that was 2 years before I got my first job in tech.
Yeah, I've also seen CNET reviewed it, so, you know.
Was that me? No, it wouldn't have been.
I genuinely checked that as well.
I may have written something for CNET about how much I loved it.
I had an MP3 player that I bought, and that was, like I said, those things where they were better, but like, just as the iPod was coming out, and in a different way, there was an MP3 player the size of a matchbox. It was essentially just a big SD card holder that took a AAA battery that you slotted in at the top with like a little tube that sat on the top, and it had like a lovely little dot matrix LCD display. Pair of headphones in, you could easily put it in your mouth. I mean, fully easily.
That is like the main criteria we look for in successful tech.
But just to give people an idea of it, and obviously I did quite a lot, just like show off like big pair of headphones, tiny little player. But it was just that amazing thing of like, why would I ever need more to make music? It's just this little thing. Obviously now I've realised, you know, processing power and battery is quite nice, but it was brilliant for its time. And I remember showing my nan and she'd been like, don't understand technology anymore. I mean, she didn't really understand it to start with, but that was a real moment for her. So I think I miss the MP3 player. I miss simplicity. I miss old things. I'm just getting old.
It happens to us all.
It's just life's hard, isn't it? Yeah. I'm looking, everything's getting really rosy tinted these days. It's really not good. Right. We've only got time for one tiny extra chat. Cherie, you pick for us. Is there anything else we should be telling the listeners about this week in the world of tech?
I'm kind of interested in that AirTag review, but I'm kind of not.
I feel like we did the AirTag review. I've been of the opinion that Apple should have released the AirTag so many years ago because it made so much sense. I feel like I said this last week, there's been a reason why they've held it. Who knows what it is? Privacy, possibly. There was something holding it back. But I think it's just going to rip everything up. You know, we're going to do some testing, like basically hiding it with a tile around the world and seeing where it gets picked up again. And I'm going to see what comes from that. But I can't imagine that, you know, with everyone having an iPhone, not everyone, but, you know, the proliferation of iPhones is so high, fewer people have tile. I can't see how it's going to do anything worse than that. But it's a shame because I feel like, you know, it's nice to have competition, but it just seems for $29, something from Apple, it seems like a pretty compelling buy, apart from the fact it seems to scratch really easily and people get upset about the shiny metal not being nice and shiny.
Well, are they supposed to be visible or are they supposed to be hidden in your luggage somewhere so no one can actually see it and nick it? I don't quite get. I kind of get the tile stuff and the tag stuff, but I'm still not sure I'd actually see it.
Well, I think it's either. I suppose the benefit of it being visible is that someone could theoretically go and tap it and get your details if you've registered it as lost. So That's useful. And it's obviously easy to connect to things going past, but you could hide it in anything. The problem they've got, they said, was that they don't want people to hide them in people.
Oh.
Swallow this. Don't eat this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they could just, you know, track them surreptitiously. But the idea now is that after a few, I think it's 3 days, though, it'll start beeping by itself. And if you've got an iPhone, it will let you know there's a surreptitious hair tag being placed upon your person. But so that's one of the things. But yeah, it's up to you, really. The problem is you have to buy a holder for it. It doesn't come with any kind of keyring. Like, Tile have been careful and put a hole in it so you could make a keyring through it. But, you know, you got to buy an extra fob for Apple. But
you could get one off Amazon for £6 or something like that, couldn't you? Like, you don't have to buy the holder that costs the same as the AirTag.
But it's annoying. Like, just like drill a hole in it so you could just put a keyring on it. That's what Tile did.
You could super glue it to something.
No, yeah. Because if Apple did that, how would they get their aftermarket money?
Yeah, there's going to be so many AirTag-ready devices out there as well where, like, we've sewn a pocket on this thing. Put your AirTag in here. Yeah. But I think it went down well. The precision finder thing is good. I mean, one thing we did notice that in the UK, our houses are built often with lead, I think. There was some, our tester carrier was like, if you put it in this room and that and sit in this room, no idea where it is. But if you move around the corner, it's like, oh, there it is over there. So it's there. There's obviously an element with that kind of thing. But yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things that just is there and people have it and it becomes quickly like, you know, like you said about the AirPods, Ian. You know, when I first used them for the first time, I was so embarrassed walking down the street with them because I was one of the first to try them. And then within 3 months, everyone was like, yeah, makes perfect sense. So I think it'd be similar. Anyway, that is all the time we have this week on noise cancelling. We have talked a lot about noise cancelling. We've cancelled some noise. I really feel like we have.
I just assumed that was what you did every week. Every week is just to talk about noise cancellation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've really got into it. Yeah, and we've managed to keep it going.
It's a very literal podcast.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Yeah, if it was really literal, it would just be like a silence for the whole time,
or sort of a
yeah. No, but that's what it's supposed to get rid of. That's the opposite. That's the noise.
It's
best
it doesn't,
to be
does it? It's you kind of get that weird. Well, they've got better in recent years. Early noise cancellation was just a different kind of noise.
Yeah. And you had to have a massive bulky thing on the end of the headphones. I tell you what, with the AirPods Pro sometimes when you run into wind, it's like your brain has been pulled in four dimensions because the noise cancellation just loses its mind and it's like, I've got to cancel everything. So that's always fun. But yes, that's the end of the show this week. Andy, have you had a good time?
Yes, mate. Very good. Thanks. Good to reminisce about old gadgets and tech that I completely forgot. I might go in the loft later and try and find my links.
Yes, please do. I mean, I would say you could share it on our social feed, which we don't have yet. How can people get in contact with you socially should they wish to? Or can they just read about you on What Hi-Fi?
They can read about me on What Hi-Fi. Or they can follow me on Instagram at Mandy Adden and on Twitter, Mandy Adden. See what I've done there with my name?
It's like Andy Madden, but the other way around. That's clever.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah, I work with words. Ian, how about you?
What, have I had a good time?
Yeah, obviously, number one.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I've loved it. I love a podcast.
I know you do. That's why we wanted you on. Just like, he'll be ready-made.
You can find me on, Twitter, if you want. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a particularly rewarding experience for anyone, but it's Ian Morris 78.
Yeah.
That's the number 7 and the number 8.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it was written out, that would start annoying people straight
It would
away,
make it so worse, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, and also, people were wondering, because I told you how old I was, but now everyone can obviously know that, because it's literally in the Twitter name.
Wait, 78 years old?
Yeah,
you have to keep getting a new one every year.
No, I was born in 1878. I'm 100 and whatever, 43.
Cherie, for the first time, I'm going to ask this question. How can people get in contact with you, and how do you write the number out?
I write it as 2 ones, like 11.
Exactly. You're Miss Smith 11, but we've never said, like, is it 2 ones? Is it the word 11? Now we're answering the big questions.
All right. So, yeah. So, as Gareth has basically segued me in, if you want to follow me, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. So, 3 S's, not 2, not 1, but 3. Trace. Tra. And of course, for all things laptops, including the upcoming Samsung Galaxy Book Pro and Galaxy Book Pro 360, come to Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
I always like to see how people hear the very peaky sound of Cherie shouting down a microphone. and weep for our sound engineer. I've been Gareth Beavis, Global Editor in Chief of Tech Radar, who is tweeting at SuperBeav. I don't know why I gave my job title again. It sounds like I'm showing off. And you can find us tweeting on Tech Radar. We can Facebook on Tech Radar. We're Instagramming on Tech Radar. That's basically it. We've got a Twitch set up, apparently, I found out the other day. I haven't used it. Fun facts. But thank you for listening to the Noise Cancelling. Tell your friends about it. Subscribe. Give us a nice review on Apple, because then people can find it. We'll get up them lovely charts. And we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.